Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
I want to take just a moment to thank you guys. Thank you guys for not only allowing me to come and share with you this weekend, but also thank you. Thank you so much for sowing seed and ministry opportunities at the University of Louisville. Thank you for that. Whether it's prayer, whether it's resources, whether it's time, thank you guys for being partners with us as Christ is transforming our campus at the University of Louisville. Whether you're a University of Louisville fan or not, okay, I know I've kind of divided the room maybe in Kentucky or Louisville or IU or Purdue, it doesn't matter. God's doing great things all over the place, but thank you for investing in what God's called myself and our team at the University of Louisville. You know, it's not a proverb, but it probably could be a proverb. Blessed are the brief, and you may be asked back. But if you're long, you can forget it. You will never be asked back. About 20 years ago, I was going to preach my first sermon on a Sunday morning, and I called Bob Russell up, and I said, Bob, I need some advice. How long should I speak? And he said, Chris, what I want you to do is I want you to gauge yourself on what kind of speaker you think you are. One's poor, 10 is excellent. And he said, you got a score? I said, yes, sir, I have a score. He said, okay, subtract 2 because you're not as good as you think you are. And multiply that by 5, and that's how many minutes you have. So we're going to close it out here in just a minute. I promise you will definitely make Olive Garden today, I promise. John Merrick was given the title, The Ugliest Man to Ever Live. Think about that title for just a second. The ugliest man to ever live. His nickname was the Elephant Man. At age 4, he was abandoned by his mother. At age 14, a man stumbled upon him who was a circus owner, and he made him the first freak show headline. He was the first. People would come from all over to see John Merrick and the Elephant Man. A lot of times lines would be around the tent, and often you would hear people scream out. Often people wouldn't even make it in to see him. They would take off running. Imagine that title, The Ugliest Man to Live. By definition, if you had that title, The Ugliest Man to Ever Live, you automatically took another title, whether you liked it or not. You probably took the title, The Loneliest Man to Ever Live. Hope came years later. There was this man that was in the carnival line, and he was on his way to see John Merrick. And when he saw him, he had compassion for him. And he looked at him and he said, I want to meet with you. This guy's name was Dr. Frederick Treves. Dr. Frederick Treves, what started as just a doctor and a patient relationship, they begin to meet, and they started to spend time with one another, and they developed a true, authentic friendship. This is the gospel. That story that I just shared with you, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that sin deforms us. Sin isolates us. Sin can disfigure us and disconnect us with what we are supposed to be. We are all John Merricks in some shape, form, or fashion, but God embraces us. Those are two of the most powerful words of all of Scripture. But God demonstrated His love, the Bible says in Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love for us that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God embraces us. He pulls us close. He reconciles us to Himself, and He breathes life into our bodies. We are going to look at a scripture today that probably you've heard before. But I promise, as we start to polish this text off, It's going to be a text that probably all of us, if not all of us, can relate to. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for just a couple moments, God, that we can reflect on your word. God, I thank you for the power of the gospel. God, that it changes us. So, Lord, I pray just for the next couple moments, God, as we share. Lord, I pray that you just take over. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, and let me give you just a little bit of context on this story. In Luke chapter 5, everyone is hearing about this man named Jesus that is changing the world. He is coming in, he's talking about a message, and his message is powerful. It is countercultural, but it's also counterintuitive. Everyone is coming to see this man named Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, what they're doing is they are coming to hear him preach. And the Bible says that they are pressing against him. The backdrop is the Sea of Galilee. So the people are pressing against him where he's against the water. So what he does is he gets in one of the boats, and they push it out just a little bit. And he's talking, and he's sharing, and as he finishes the message, he notices that there's a boat next to him, a fisherman who had fished all night. They fished at night because it was cooler. So as he's preaching this message, they're cleaning their nets. He looks over at them, and he says, "Hey, guys, let's go fishing." The guy said, "Jesus, we've been fishing all night, and we've caught nothing." You know, I think sarcastically in their mind, they're probably looking at Jesus, and they're probably saying, "Hey, you stick to preaching, and you let us fish." But they said this. They said, "Jesus, since you said, we will." And they go out, and Jesus tells them to cast into the deep waters, and they do. They're obedient to Jesus, and they throw the nets out, and the Bible says that they catch so many fish that their nets start to break. They pull the fish into the boat, and their boats start to sink, but they land the catch. They get it to the shore. That's different than a person that's going out, and he's fishing in the pond, and he says, "Yeah, I had it. I had it on the, it was on the hook. It was about that big." No, they landed it. And from the world standpoint, they could probably have retired on that catch. But Jesus looks at him, and he says this, "Leave it and come follow me, because now you will become fishers of men." What do those men look like? What do those people look like when he's talking to them, fishers of men? I'll tell you who they look like. They look a lot like John Merrick. They look a lot like Chris Morgan. They look a lot like Scott Long. They look a lot like Tyler McKenzie, and they look a lot like us. But in Luke chapter 5, we're going to see that there's three people that they talk about indirectly. A leper, a paralytic, and a tax collector. Just for time's sake, we're going to look at just one. And it's the man that's covered with leprosy. Now, leprosy, if you're reading through this text, you don't want to just skim over it and think leprosy. You kind of just relate that to chicken pox. Okay, there's a lot different than that. Leprosy, and I'm going to explain it to us slowly, it's a death by inches. In the Old Testament, they compare leprosy with sin. And when I finish explaining what leprosy looks like, you'll understand why they have the similarities. Leprosy is a death by inches. You die slow, but eventually you get there. It starts with your circulatory system, blood flow. That eventually your blood flow and your fingers and your toes, that it will stop. So actually your fingers and your toes will become degenerate and they'll fall off. I tell you another thing that leprosy does is that leprosy affects your senses. That slowly but surely you will lose your sight, you will lose your hearing, you will lose your sense of taste, of touch. You will lose all your senses. Another thing that leprosy is characterized is that you would have these pussy sores. These boils that would be all on top of your body, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. They would be this irritation, this frustration. There's another thing that you had to do if you had leprosy, that you had to have a bell around your neck. And that if you got within 50 yards from anyone, you had to ring this bell. And you had to say the words, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, and you would ring that bell. A lot of times lepers were stoned out of cities. They would grab rocks and they would throw them at lepers where lepers would have to go out. So basically you were ostracized outside of the city. You were alone, empty, missing everything. There's a couple other things that you missed. You missed your family because they were considered to just be contagious. You would lose relationships. So often you would lose a wife. You would lose a husband. Oftentimes you would lose your sons or your daughters. You would lose your family. Another thing is you would lose things socially. You would lose your friends, your neighborhoods, because you could no longer be around them. Another thing that you lost is you lost ceremonially, you lost the temple. You lost church. You lost your religion because you were no longer allowed to be around people. You were empty. Do you see the similarities now? That often, a lot of times, what happens is sin will do that. It will be a death by inches. It will slowly disconnect us from families. It will slowly disconnect us from loved ones. It will slowly disconnect us from all of the authentic, meaningful relationships that we should have. Sin always overpromises, but it never delivers. It never delivers. So as we look at this text, we're just going to look at two verses. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "While he was in one of the cities, there came a man who was full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." In verse 12, it says, he, Jesus, was in one of the cities. Now, as we just explained for a couple moments, the cities were full of people. Jesus was in the city with a lot of people, and here came a man, it says, that it probably wasn't in his first stages of leprosy. He was a man that was full of leprosy. So maybe he came in with nubs. Maybe he came in with his feet shuffling because of no toes. Maybe he came in with the pussy sores all over his body. Maybe he's stumbling his way into the city. But the Bible says that when he comes into the city, he sees Jesus. Think about that for just a moment. He is locked in on the one person that can give him everything that he has been searching for. He is locked in on Jesus. It's like staring at an anamorphic art. Now, maybe you haven't used that word, anamorphic art, but I'm certain that you have seen those pictures where you stare at a picture so intently that the picture actually jumps out at you. This person is staring intently into Jesus. He looks at him. He's locked in. He is so focused on what he desperately needs. You see, desperation fuels determination. When we are desperate for something, we are determined at all costs to make it happen. This man covered with leprosy, he comes in, he's locked in on Jesus, and he drops. He drops to his face. I probably should get down on the ground and show you just for illustration purposes, but he is laying outstretched. Why is he doing that? Well, I think, yes, out of reverence, probably because he understands who he is, but I think it's a step further than that. He's understanding that this is Jesus, but he's also saying, hey, look, none of you guys in here, your rocks won't work today. You're not stoning me out of the city today. Today, if you want me out, you are going to have to pick me up and carry me out. So if you want to, come on. But today, I'm laying down at the feet of Jesus. And notice what he says. He fell on his face and he begged Jesus. He understood his position. Look, Jesus, I have nothing to offer you. But if you're willing, you can do something amazing to me today. He begged him, Lord, if you're willing, not out of obligation, you don't have to do this, Jesus, but if you're willing, you can make me clean. Notice the word that he didn't use. He didn't use the word heal. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You see, if he said the word heal, he probably could have said, Lord, if you're willing, you can put my fingers back on. Or you can put my toes back on. Or Lord, if you're willing, you can take all these pussy sores off my body. I think it's deeper than that. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. God, you can restore me. You can restore who I am, God. You can restore my relationships. You can make it where I can grab my wife and bring my wife close to me again and hug her. Lord, if you're willing, you know what it's like. I can bring my husband back and I can put my arms around my husband. Lord, if you're willing, I can take my child that has been so pushed off to the side. And Lord, I can bring them close. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean where I will be accepted in my neighborhood and community again, and I can go back and have relationships. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean and I can go back into church, Lord, and I can raise my hands, God, and can let all know that I have been clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, you don't have to raise your hands. You definitely don't have to vocalize it, but anybody in here that needs relationships restored? Yeah. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I love verse 13. Here's what it says. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Wait just a second. Wow. Jesus reaches out this man. He reaches out his hand and he touches this guy. Who is this man that will touch this leper? Who is this man that would touch a sinner? Who is this man that would touch this person that doesn't look like me? Man, that will preach today. Who is this person that will reach in a different community, and even though they don't look like this, or they don't look like that, or they don't have this or that, Jesus reaches in and he touches them. You see, that's Calvary. Jesus is actually showing us Calvary. He's showing us the cross before the cross. He reached out his hand and he touches him. Imagine what was happening. Imagine what was happening when Jesus reaches down and he grabs this person and he lifts him up and he hugs him. Imagine what all the other folks probably were doing. I mean, they may just have come from synagogue, or they just might have come from a Beth Moore Bible study, or they may have just come from listening to a podcast on love. But Jesus reaches this person and he hugs them. Imagine what all of the people probably did. Do you think there were some whispers? Do you think there were some snickers from the different group? Imagine that. What I've come to realize is that a good editor always remembers when they were a journalist. A good principal always remembers when they were a teacher. A good head coach always remembers when they were a GA, a graduate assistant. A good Christian, and I use that term very, very lightly, a good Christian always remembers when they were lost. Man, do you remember that? I remember that. Do you remember that emptiness that you had where Jesus breathed life into our dead bodies? Blaise Pascal says that all of us were created with a God-sized hole in our heart that only God himself could fill. All of us were created with a God-sized hole in our heart that only he could fill. Now, maybe you're a lot like me. Maybe you tried a long time and you put a lot of effort into stuffing things of the world down to that empty spot to make you happy. I know I did. I know I tried my hardest to stick football down to that small place in my heart because surely football would give me significance. And I tried to fit it in only to have my college football coach, my last game of my senior year, come on our bus and say, all you seniors, report back to the football office Monday to turn in your equipment. And I could realize that coach right then took my identity. He took it from me. I tried to stick women down to that small place in my heart. I tried to stuff, surely they would fit. I tried to push them and they wouldn't fit. Now, it's not because they were big women. They just wouldn't fit. I try to stick popularity, people's acceptance, everything in the world, you name it, probably a lot like you guys, you tried to stick things into a place that only God could occupy. Until I sat in a chapel service just like this, I said this just for football guys, and I sat in the back row, and I came from a Christian home. I knew those stories, but as I sat in the back, the chaplain stood up, and he said, "Gentlemen, one out of every one of you are going to die. And one day you're going to stand in front of God." Now, I didn't make straight A's in school, straight B's or straight C's, if you understand where I'm going with that illustration, okay? I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. But I knew what one out of one was, that those were pretty good odds that one day I was going to die and I was going to stand in front of my maker. And he was going to do an internal audit of my life. You see, a lot of times we climb this ladder of success only to get to the top of the ladder to realize that our ladder is leaning against the wrong roof. Jesus reaches out and touches this man. In verse 13 at the end, he said, "I will be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. You know, as I get ready to close up, this man had an encounter with Jesus. I am convinced when we are having a true encounter with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the old is gone, behold, new. Could you imagine this man being restored, that his body is now clean, he can go back to his relationships? I bet he hugs his wife like she's never been hugged before. He picks his kids up and he brings them close. He dances with his young girls. He goes to church and he worships God. His whole life has been what some people call the train wreck of the gospel. That there is a wreck, that you are no longer, that we are no longer the same. He has a pep in his step. To be a frustrated, hard to deal with person, that is an oxymoron to the Christian faith. We should have pep in our step. We should be excited about what life has to offer. Are all days rainbows? No. However, we have a purpose in our life, and the world needs to see that we're different. I don't know if you've heard this story before, but Tony Campolo is he's a pastor evangelist. He travels throughout the country. On this one occasion, he's in this diner and he's eating his meal, and this lady walks into the diner and she comes up to Tony Campolo and she says, "This is what I'll do for $50. This is what I'll do for $100. Tony Campolo sits back and he says, "Ma'am, I tell you what, if you just sit, I'll give you $100. Let's have a conversation." They sit down and they start having a conversation. He could have called this lady anything in the book, probably, okay? But he sits down and he's having a conversation with this lady. Come to find out in this conversation that it's the lady's birthday. So Tony Campolo looks at her and he says, "Ma'am, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $50. I am going to get up. I have something I have to get. I'll be back in just a minute. Will you stay here? And when I return, I'll give you $50. She said, "Yes." Tony Campolo runs out of the diner. He goes down to the corner store. He grabs this cake, and he's running down the street with this cake, and he walks into the diner, and he lights these candles, and he hits the lights with his elbow, and he starts to sing happy birthday to this lady, and the whole diner starts to chime in, and he sits the cake down in front of her, and she closes her eyes, and she blows out the candles after she makes a wish, and it's this perfect story, and Tony Campolo is walking out of the diner, and the owner of the diner stops and says, hey, buddy, what church do you go to?" And he says, "I guess I go to the church that throws a birthday party for prostitutes." May we be a people. May we be a church that understands what it's like when we first had the touch of Christ. May we be that. May we continue to walk in it. I can forgive much because I've been forgiven for much. And when we do that, we can take failure from the world and point people to Christ. And it gives us significance, meaning, and purpose. Let me pray for us. Man, Father God, I am so thankful that you reached down out of the pit, out of the mire. And God, you saved a wretch like me. Lord, that I once was lost, I once was blind, but now I see. God, I pray for this church. I pray for these people. God, I pray that if there's anyone in here today that maybe feels like John Merrick, they've been given a label, they've been given a title. Maybe they're like the leper. God, we can all relate to that. But Lord, may we not leave without feeling and experiencing the touch of Jesus. So God, I thank you for that name, that it's a name above all names. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, buddy. So maybe that is you this morning, that you've heard the gospel and you need to respond. Well, just know that every weekend you have that opportunity to go out to our fireside room. We have people who are ready to talk to you about your next step. And maybe today that is giving your life to Jesus. We are so thankful for Chris. He is exactly the right guy we need at the University of Louisville for those student athletes and those coaches. He's making such a difference down there, and that's why we're not just a fan of his, but we're a partner of his. We help support him out of our Love the Ville Christmas Eve offering, and we are so glad to play a part in what he is doing down there as he is just molding those young men and women. It's amazing. If you are a first-time visitor with us, we would love to get to know you. Please stop by the middle of our lobby. We'd love to answer any questions and just hear your story. And also, don't forget, next weekend, time change weekend, your phones will do it automatically, but just be ready for it. We're so glad you're here with us today. Hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.